Well, hello there, brothers and sisters. This is the Brown Panda Podcast, episode 140. Fuck. I don't remember. I think it's 145. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good morning. Guten Morgen. I'm your host, Tavish Baluch. And once again, we are back with another episode in Austin. That's right, people. I'm back in Austin. I've been back for, I think, a month now. And I gotta say, it's been fantastic. There's no other way to put it. And this has nothing to do with my family or friends in El Paso, but it feels like it was all a dream. Like, it feels like I wasn't even there. Like, I woke up one day and I never left. It was very strange. Like, from the moment I laid my head down in this room, it was like nothing ever changed. And I was back, but stronger and more enthusiastic. I don't know. I've been back, and it felt like I can't tell if I left something here emotionally that I needed this whole time, but or if I'm just stronger this time around mentally, physically, maybe. I gotta say, this month has been really eye-opening. Like, oh shit, like, this is who you are, this is where you're supposed to be, this is where you're gonna call home. Like, you know, this is just it now, this is it. And, you know, I'm back at Walgreens. I'm not at the same store, mind you, but I am actually at a closer store to where I live, which is pretty cool, because not spending that much gas. It's a nice and quiet store. I'm having a good time with it. I like my team. I like working. I don't really feel miserable. It's not that chaotic of a store. It's just, I don't know, man. Like, I've been feeling really great. Mind you, I've been broke because I'm still healing the damage I did in El Paso, because I'm a foolish man. But, you know, about another month's time, I should be back to even and figuring, you know, like, having money to go do shit. Because, I mean, there's a lot of people I haven't seen since I've been back, and I do apologize, but, you know, I just don't have money to do anything right now, but I will. And I mean, even if you just want to hang out, you know, you could contact me. But I kind of want to mention the last episode, and I hope you guys liked it. When I edited it, I was laughing my ass off, dude. The beginning of that episode alone just comes out with exactly who we are. when Sean's like, "What do you call a big, you know, a group of pandas?" He's like, "A big panda." It just explains, that is all of us. That's how every conversation is. And it's such a great time. And I really miss those guys. I love them so much. And like, you know, I have heard some people have wrote me on Twitter and Facebook, like, saying, "Hey, that fucking episode was amazing." So soon in the future, I'm going to be probably doing that often. I may actually end up splitting that into a separate podcast where we would do maybe one episode a month, and we'd probably have to do it, you know, like, over a computer, but, you know, it would be cool. So I guess if that's something you're interested, go ahead and let me know. And I also am thinking about starting another podcast with my friend Natalie and Serena. That one would just be them, though. Like, I have no involvement there. The only thing I am is the producer and editor, but they just have fun. So there's things I'm working on, you know, trying to get going. But yeah, man, that episode was so fun to do. I absolutely love it. I will be going back to El Paso for Thanksgiving. And, you know, hopefully I could get another episode with drama. I would like an episode with drama. A lot of people have loved the episode with me and drama, just talking music, baby. So I want to do another one of those. I want to do another episode of The Embarrassment, I guess we'll go ahead and call it. But, yeah, man, like, since I've been back, I just have this immense, like, energy. And I didn't realize, right, that when I left, you know, I was still kind of a baby sober. I was a little baby sober, man. You know, little youthful sobriety, I guess you could call it. And I was still up the wall with emotions, you know, fucking, oh, this is happening. This is happening. Oh, my God, how terrible. But in reality, now that I'm like an aged sober man somewhat. You know, I still got a long way to go, but I'm a little more aged. But I realize now, like, a lot of that stuff, a lot of those emotions was just me bursting them out and not knowing how to handle it. With that being said, I needed El Paso. I needed to step back to breathe and reflect on myself and how I was dealing with those things and handling them and to look at, you know, like, oh, shit, you know, maybe those things don't really matter to you anyways. Like, I don't know, like there was some, I don't want to get into detail because I don't really feel like talking about all that stuff. Not that I'm still like hurt by any of it, but it just, I don't want to call anybody out. But a lot of the things that happened then, to me were so fucking huge, huge. And so out of character, like as far as how I reacted and the weights that I gave it, you know what I mean? And I've never really given much weight to things like that or really anything, you know, of that caliber because people are people. People do what people do. You accept them for how they are and you enjoy them no matter what. That's kind of where I've always fallen. But I've been back for a month and I've kind of, like, I can't help but look back on some of those things and be like, oh, you silly boy, you silly, foolish little Tom, you silly young sober man. You know what I mean? And I don't know. It's I'm kind of trying to make amends with some of those things. You know what I mean? Or like while I'm here and, you know, like I feel me and Sammy especially, like I want to hang out with him a little bit more and kind of sort that out. I've never talked about that. I never will talk about what happened because Sammy's a great guy and he doesn't deserve the whatever the fuck I did, like, and how I handled it. But needless to say, I feel a lot more comfortable in my own skin here now. When I wake up in the morning, I don't feel misery, you know, like I just, I think at the end there in El Paso, I realized the purposelessness of whatever the fuck I was doing there. Like, I mean, in reality, it's not that huge of a difference in what I'm doing here right now, but I'm making the steps, you know, and being here was the start of those steps. And if I had just focused on what I needed to do, you know, like maybe I would have got somewhere. But I mean, I think fixing myself and getting sober and going through those emotions and blasting off and almost losing friends and kind of coming back to myself and being like, okay, you know, and being in El Paso and breathing and listening to my friends and talking with them and you know, having these really long discussions about what things feel like and how what they mean and all this stuff. Without all that, I don't get back to this. I don't calm myself. I don't become one with circumstance, you know what I mean? And the universe and just kind of letting it all play out and enjoying it while I'm doing it. I think I needed all that to be here to do the next things. You know what I mean? Needless to say, I've already been working and making moves and starting to plan out what I want to do, who I want to be, and most importantly, how I want to be. How I want to be, meaning how I want to be to people, how I want to be to family, how I want to be to friends, how I want to be to myself. It's just, I don't know. I feel back. I feel energy. I feel strength, you know, probably even more so beyond what I had when I first came here. Because when I first came to Austin, I didn't, if you listen to those episodes, because, you know, this podcast plays out that whole fucking thing. If you listen to those episodes of when I moved here, I think we can all agree it was just a drunk guy with a couple bucks that said, fuck it. And it stayed that way. And I was just drunk and, hey, I'm in Austin. You know, that's kind of what, that's what it was. You know what I mean? It was, I'm in Austin, right? That's what it was. Damn near the whole time until I got sober. That's what it was. Just, I'm a drunk guy in Austin. And then I was a guy getting sober in Austin, right? And then now I came back and I'm a guy with purpose living in Austin. Like, this isn't a place I'm visiting. This is my home. But yeah, like, now I'm just a guy living in Austin. This is my home now. And it's not this party place. It's not this, you know, weird mecca anymore. Now it's home. And now that it's home, it's like, okay, now what do I do with this home? What can I make it? You know, who do I want to be at this home? And even so, I think after this November, right, this is the first time all me and my sisters and my mom are all going to be back together again. You know, my sister Tara, she's having her baby. She'll be 3 months shy of having the baby by then, I believe. And it'll be our first time physically meeting her man, her husband. And it'll be great, you know. It'll, but it's going to be the last time me, my sisters, my mom, and my grandfather are all in El Paso together. Because my mother is moving to Dallas, like the outer Dallas area. So that's already in the works. It looks like it's going to be happening beginning of next year. This is the last time, like family-wise, El Paso would be home, right? And that's sad, but there's so many people there that make it home for me, my friends. You know what I mean? Like Chris, Sean, Will, you know, Tick, Drama, Zeke. There's so many fucking people there that make me call it home, and I, you know, are the reason I love that place. But it's going to be strange that, you know, my mom's going to be over here, just about 2-3 hours away. My sister in Arkansas, that's about 9 hours, but, you know, it's better than living in El Paso and driving 14 hours. And, you know, my dad's in Houston. My cousins are in Houston. We're all going to be in East Texas, and it's a huge change, but I think it's time. You know, El Paso was good while it was, but at the end of it all, we were only there for my grandmothers. You know, my big grandma, which is my great grandma, I called her big grandma, and then my little grandma, which was my grandma, but I called her little grandma. And they died. They're gone. And all the other aunts are gone. All the other cousins moved. Everyone's gone. You know, there's only like a handful of cousins and one aunt that lives in El Paso now. And it's no longer that place. It's no longer this place where we all got together, you know, for everyone's birthday and all that. It just doesn't exist anymore. You know, we got family, they moved to Tennessee. We got family, they moved to Dallas. You know what I mean? So it just makes sense to go off, do your own thing. And that's what my mom has decided to do. And it just works. You know, but it is sad to come to the realization. I think that's why at the end there, if my time in El Paso, I was kind of like things were becoming real and I was feeling a lot and they were hurting. because emotionally it's me letting go and saying goodbye. The first time around, I didn't give myself time to do that. You know, I didn't give myself time to say goodbye and allow it to be this real thing and grieve. But this time I did. I grieved. I said goodbye. I went to the places my grandmothers used to live and used to go to, and I said goodbye to them because that attachment to that city is them, and I love them, and I had to say goodbye. I had to let go, because whether I've ever said it on this podcast or not, my alcoholism, there's a lot of things that can add to why that became that, certainly. But the biggest one was my grandmother's dying. Like, when my big grandma died, she promised me she would never... she promised me she would live to see me turn 18. She died the day after my 18th birthday, and I was there, and I watched it. And I watched the family lose absolute control. Like, somehow I was the only one just calm in this death and trying to calm everybody down. But my mom and my grandma and my sisters, you know, they were all freaking out. And I was the only one that was trying to take hold. I didn't have time to grieve for a while, my big grandma. And then when my little grandma died, that's when big grandma dies, I start doing drugs and heroin. Well, I was already kind of doing stuff, honestly, already. I was already drinking. I was already doing drugs. But it wasn't like I didn't give it too much weight. After she died, I gave it a lot of weight. But when my little grandma died, that's when I was already sober from most drugs, you know, like heroin and shit like that. But that's when the drinking took absolute control. I was already drinking a lot, but this one became... After that happened, it became an everyday thing. I couldn't handle it. I fortunately got to say my last words to my grandma the day before she died. None of us knew she was going to die. My little grandma, were, "I love you." And her last words to me were, "I love you." So I got that, at least. You know, it was great. But, you know, that city was that. It was them. And then they were gone. And then how do I live with that? How do I deal with that? How do I deal with these things? I guess what I'm trying to say is I didn't know what to do there without them, and it was significantly harder. If I'm being completely honest, I probably should have left right then and there. I wish I had the foresight to see how crazy I was going to let myself get, because, you know, I had already experienced it a little bit. I wish I had the foresight to know, "Tavish, you're about to fucking rocket ship, man. You got to go. You got to go." I should have gone to Houston again with my cousin Adam. I should have done something. But I don't regret that I stayed. I don't regret that I allowed myself to fuck up. I don't regret that I became an alcoholic, because... That was finally the physical manifestation of the fucking insect bug demon that was in me. And it was out. It was out, and I could see it, and it was real, and people could see it, and people knew. And I would much rather that physical worm of a demon that was in me sitting there be out, be real. Because if it's not, then I was going to lose my fucking mind hiding it. You know, that inner hatred, that turmoil I always found myself in. I thank alcohol for giving me that, giving me the, you know, the mirror, I guess. All I'm saying is it's really sad, you know, but I'm in a way better place now that I got to say goodbye, and I grieved on it, and I felt it, and I let myself feel those things. I feel so much better. And this place is just, every day I go into work, dude, it's a job I've done for years. You guys know I've been off and on with Walgreens for like 4 years. It's a job I've done over and over again. It's a job I've complained about on this podcast. It's a job, it's a job. That's that. But every day I go into work and I just feel happy. I feel excited and happy. I don't feel miserable. I don't feel sad. I don't feel the weight of the world or what's about to happen today get on me. I'm ready for the day. And I know there's going to be bad things that happen, but there's going to be so many good things, and I can let them get bad, or I can let them get good. The things like this and places like that, they only take from you what you let them take. And I kind of remembered that. And I think it was one of the first days I was off. I was kind of thinking about that. And I was like, you know what? I used to let Walgreens and work and people and all this take from me that good feeling, right? I used to turn it into this thing and be miserable when I walked in, but I'm not going to let that happen anymore. I'm not going to give it power. Like, why would I do that? You know, I have the power. Every day's different. I have the power. I can really make someone's day. Sometimes, man, fucking, we'll have an angry customer at Photo, and I will go through the ends of the fucking world just to get their order perfect and right. And at the end of it, you know what? They're grateful because they saw me try and they saw me do it with a smile on my face and be apologetic and just be, you know, genuine about it. And I don't know, like at the end of that interaction, I think that's my favorite thing now is somebody being in a shit mood and turning them around at the end and just making them feel a little better. And that's fucking awesome, man. It's the smallest scale of what I want to do on a huge scale, but I'll take it. It's a fucking win. You know what I mean? It's a coin in a Mario game. It gets me one step closer. You know what I mean? I don't know. I feel so much more fantastic and better and just, God, man. Like, I don't know. I'm so happy to be back. It's like I said, I haven't really hung out with anybody, but I have been hanging out with Steven a lot, and I'm so happy to be back here with Steven. We've been watching Jujutsu Kaisen, which is like this anime, because Steven has this relentlessness to get me into anime, but he's gotten me hooked on this one. This one's like, it's like this weird paranormal anime with curses, and it's just nice to be back here and sit down and relax and talk with my buddy, you know what I mean? And just shoot the shit and just eat food and be cool, you know? And like, there's not a lot of people I got to hang out with, but, you know, it's like I said, I'm kind of broke right now, but I just love being back. And there's also apologies I have to make to some friends. You know, when I left, I had one friend, Sean. He was getting married on that day, and I was supposed to be there, but that was the day I left. And I've felt miserable about that ever since that happened. I need to make it up to him, you know, and he just had a baby. I need to get this baby Crimson Ghost fucking, you know, pajama pants or what are they called? Baby onesies? Onesies. I need to get this baby a Crimson Ghost onesie. You know, I need to mend, you know, these fences I broke and these, you know, what's the saying? The bridge. I didn't really burn the bridge, but I did break a fence, you know, so I got to mend the fence because no matter what, I know these people love me and we're all friends and we're all family and there is no burning of a bridge. There's only a breaking of a fence, and a fence is easy to fix, but I don't know. All I wanted to say is give you guys an update and all that about what's going on with me. I don't have a guitar. I gave my guitar to Sean, but fucking Steven left his piano in here, so I've been playing the piano again. And I'm just kind of back into the groove, but not in the same way, you know. I stopped playing the game, and then I reset it and did it a year later, and I love it. You know, sometimes you need to step back from the game when you fucking get frustrated and start throwing your controller because the boss you're fighting is pissing you off. Sometimes you need to stop the game. Just leave the game for a while and then come back to the game. Okay, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with collecting yourself and changing who you are a little bit, your mindset on how you feel about that boss fight, and then coming back and you know, fighting the boss. So also, I just fucking read, like, the first 2 weeks here, I just powered through all the Sandman books and fucking Swamp Thing. And, like, it's been amazing, dude. The Sandman. I need to get a Sandman tattoo. Okay? I'm absolutely obsessed with the Sandman, and I am excited for season 2 to come out, man. Hopefully they end up doing some of the stuff in book 2. That would be really cool with the whole Satan thing and everything. But, yeah, and then I just watched The Fall of the House of Usher. That was fantastic. You guys should definitely check that out. But I think I've been talking long enough. I want to go get me a cup of coffee. And next time you hear me, hopefully, I should have a little demo of the podcast I kind of want to do with Natalie and Serena. I think they wanted to call it Trash Pandas. But thank you for listening, guys. I love you. I'll see you later.